Welcome to The Good Word. My name is Mike Barnett. I am a retired pastor. My conversation partners today are Brant Berglund from Walla Walla University School of Theology and Bob Resch, a retired physician. Bob and I help team teach Sabbath School at the Chan Shun, so we're enjoying each other's company again today. When did you begin to study the Bible for yourself?
I was first exposed to the Bible as a young child. I grew up in a Christian home, but didn't become a Christian, a follower of Jesus, myself really until I was in my 20s, early 20s, and that's when I started studying the Bible. And when I say study, I started reading it, and I say voraciously. I didn't start studying it in any disciplined, systematic way until I came to college. But just the reading, just kind of devouring the Bible was the first real exposure to it for myself. And I would say I was 20 or 21.
Bob?
Well, about 1962, when I was a student here, I took classes from, he wasn't a doctor. It was J. Paul Grove, but excellent teacher. And he encouraged us to ask questions and discover questions and report for our own impressions of the scriptures. And up until that time, all Bible study had been fill in the blank. And the lesson quarterly wouldn't even ask questions unless there's a text you could look up to get the answer. So I enjoyed Paul Grove very much. And then I had other stimulating teachers here. And when I got to Loma Linda, I discovered still more, and has been kind of an investigative student of the Bible since.
Okay. Well, I started reading the Bible for myself back when they had a JMV program in school. The problem was is that whenever I would ask questions and to my teacher regarding my Bible reading, she would shut me down, almost ruin me as a potential Christian, because my questions to her were reflective of doubt rather than just honest questions. So I didn't actually start reading the Bible for myself until I was 20. And I did it together with an exhaustive concordance. So as a, computers weren't around. We didn't have anything like that. And so I would be taking notes and studying the Bible and looking stuff up and through this exhaustive concordance. So it was an interesting way to sort of get your feet wet in terms of Bible study. What changes has studying the Bible made in your life?
The first is that reading widely, I find that God's Spirit brings to my mind passages of Scripture when I need encouragement, when I need to have a change of attitude, or my behavior is not what God would will or plan. And I think those are the biggest changes, that it's outlook and behavior, it doesn't start with my actions, it starts with my thinking. My thinking has changed by reading Scripture widely, and I think that's its main purpose, is to change the human person.
And I began to think as I began to have to teach. It was after Walla Walla, it was after medical school, it was during my internship that another classmate and I were asked to teach a Bible class, Sabbath school class. And that required a lot of thinking ahead of time, which was not my custom at that point. I had 2 years of that experience at Kettering, and then I went to the nation of Malawi, and on some occasion, I'll give you a 40-second summary of that. Maybe this is a good time. I once felt called to be a gospel minister, but I told the Holy Spirit, "You're sincerely mistaken on that, because I can never get up in front of people and talk out loud to a group. I could be a physician and perhaps help people in that way." And so I arrived in Malawi. Such was my shock and horror when I discovered my name on the preaching schedule of the Kabula Hill Church coming up in 2 weeks.
Surprise, surprise.
I went to the mission director and said, "There's got to be trouble here, because that's not something I do." And he replied, "Bob, you're a missionary. Missionaries preach. You will preach."
Okay, yeah, interesting how that plays out. I would say that one of the main, impacts, the biggest impact, let's say it that studying the Bible for myself has brought to my life has been a better grasp of the character of God, which has in turn affected my character.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things I was most interested in, probably because the character of God as I first began to read the Bible was very dark and difficult for me to understand. So, interesting. So, this lesson is talking about how to study the Bible. So, let's ask real quick, how do you study the Bible?
Well, I start with the material that's provided and notice the questions that are asked, and then I ask myself, could I ask a better question than that? And sometimes I say yes, and I proceed to write it out. And I've enjoyed sharing that kind of basis.
I've really enjoyed getting to know Greek and Hebrew as a theology teacher here at the university and reading the original text. I enjoy going back and seeing, for instance, if I'm reading some of the letters in the New Testament of Paul, I enjoy looking at the book of Acts and finding out where those letters could have started from, to whom are they addressed, what are the issues surrounding those audiences. And that seems to, for me, highlight some of the issues like this quarter, you know, the kind of the topics that we're looking at. And last quarter, when we looked at the books of Philippians and Colossians, right, getting a good grasp of those. But I think for me, still reading widely, just reading the Bible through, just reading it as a book almost, right, letting each passage have a context around it. I think we do poorly sometimes as Christians when we say, hey, I want a text here and a text there and a text there, and we ignore context. Hmm. And so I want to read, if I sit down to read the book of Romans, it might take me an hour and a half, but I want to read the whole book and then go back and come through it chapter by chapter and kind of piece by piece. And I enjoy doing that in addition to my own study for my teaching.
Sure. Yeah, I've also had some exposure to Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic, mm-hmm. so I know a little bit about how those languages can impact our study of the Bible. What is there in the Bible that interests you, that even grips you?
I love the topic. The one that grips me the most is the New Testament use of the Old Testament. How do New Testament authors utilize their Old Testament scriptures? How did they view the Old Testament? How did they choose to interpret it? And why did they see a Christological theme throughout the whole Old Testament? That gets me fired up, because for me, then, the Old Testament, I read it through a Jesus-centered lens, and everything becomes prophetic, or much of it does.
And if the Bible was given to us so that we could understand God better, I would like to ask of any passage, be it short or long, what kind of person is God as revealed in this passage?
Mm-hmm.
And I, of course, can attribute that to one of my teachers.
Sure, exactly. Okay, well, one of the things that, there are so many things that grip me in the Bible. It's hard to just talk about just a few, right? One of the things that grips me as I study Scripture would be this topic that we've already explored, which has to do with the rise and the continuance of sin. But another topic that I'm keenly interested in is, why does God take so much credit or blame for the calamities that come upon people in Scripture? And so that's one of the things that I'm currently studying, as well as the book of Amos. And in fact, the book of Amos leads me to that. Amos chapter 4, for example, starts out and has four different times where God, you know, takes the credit for the bad things that are happening. So let's ask another question in that regard. I am certain that you've run into something in your study of the Bible that troubles you. So before we get to how do you tackle that, what would that be for you?
Well, I can speak to that because I was asked to lead out in this studio in the fall quarter on the book of Joshua, and I picked that one because I thought it would be challenging. I had no idea how challenging it would be. And if you'd like an example, it's this. The book of Joshua tells us four different stories of what the Israelites were supposed to do in Canaan. One is, God says, you just stand there and watch. Just as I got you through the Red Sea, I'll get you through Canaan. You won't have to do a thing. And another one says, I'm going to drive out the Canaanites, and you can just stand and watch, or I'm going to destroy them, mean killing every last person. Then you can go in. And so there's a question, who's the active person here? Is it Joshua and company, or is it God who's going to do all these political and personnel changes in Canaan? And the fifth one is one which intrigued me. God says, what I really want you to do is to destroy their high places, smash their idols, and burn their high places. Well, there's no record in the book that they ever did that. They did smash a lot of people and burn a lot of things, towns, but I don't think they followed that one. So I'm still puzzled by the book of Joshua.
All right. Brett.
Yeah. Some of the things that bother me are there's places that I wish it were more clear and said more on topics. And we don't have to get into all the topics right now. There's just times that I know that, you know, when you learn Greek and Hebrew, sometimes learning those things can clarify some things. But sometimes knowing the original languages can also muddy some things and things that I thought were clear. And so I wish that it was clearer or said more on certain topics, especially some of the hot button topics for us culturally today.
Okay. So as I mentioned earlier, you know, one of my issues has to do with God taking the blame or the credit for the evil, the calamities, for example, in the book of Amos. In Amos chapter 4, verse 10, it says, I killed with the sword your young men. Well, what's fascinating, of course, is when you take a look at that over the whole of Scripture, the canon of Scripture, you find that it was the Assyrian nation that came in and did this. And as you look through other biblical books, Isaiah, Jeremiah, for example, you will get a different perspective on this same topic, and it can be confusing at first when you begin to look at them, because they don't always measure up to each other. Mm. You find out, for example, that there can be a vast difference between God's intent and allowing someone to come in and take over a nation. There can be something vastly different between God's intent and what the people themselves intended. Mm. It kind of goes back to Genesis, where we learn about you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And so you can see a vast difference between them. You know, this is what God wanted the Assyrians to do, but this is what the Assyrians wanted to do. And you can actually read about these differences in Isaiah chapter 10, for example. And it can be challenging to sort all of that out and then ask yourself, what did I learn? What do I actually know about? You know, what more do I know about this idea of God taking, you know, the blame or the credit for this bad stuff that seems to be happening? Well, we just roared right through this so quickly we hardly have time for anything more. I want to thank our sound engineers today, particularly Amber Amos. Appreciate all the work that she's done in setting us and getting us running. Appreciate also the person who was managing. I think that was Kristen today. Thank you so much for your work.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.